sister-in-law's husband just got very bad news regarding a cancer diagnosis, so please do pray for the Plant family. Evelyn Plant is the sister's name. Steve Plant is the fella's name. He's ex-military. He just found out that after 3 years of them doing tests that he's just completely, his body's nearly overtaken with cancer and he doesn't have very much longer to live. So please do pray for him. By all accounts, he's a good fella. Don't think he's saved. That's the most important thing, so please do pray for the Plant family. It's not good news, but we'll all be standing in front of God someday. The only thing that's going to matter is that you're saved. Right, I think we had, didn't we have a pick for 78 or 79? 79 in the wee black books, if you'd like to take and turn there, and we'll just remain seated as we sing "Good Christian Men Rejoice."
Placing my hands, the wonderful. turn tonight in the Bible to first chapter of Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first year of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have so much, and bring a little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not full with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages, to put it in the bag of holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, and bring wood, and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of my house that is waste, and you rot every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, upon the new wine, and upon the oil, upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, upon cattle, and upon all labour of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stood up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, the second year of Darius the king. Amen.
Thank you, Will. Interesting to note that would sort of make Haggai almost a peer of Daniel. So he was about in the years of Darius and Mede as well. So, amen. Don't forget our prayer requests. Pray for me. Head's splitting at the moment. I think it's a sinus headache. Please do pray especially for Stephen Plant, Pat and Steve, Lynn and Frank made it home safely, so please don't forget to thank the Lord for answering prayers. Pray for each other. Crazy times, just pray that folks, in the words of the song, will get their ears and eyes and mouths open and listen to what God has to say. 431 in the big books. 431, the silent night, holy night. We'll stand as we sing.
Bye.
books open. Maybe seated. We'll read the 433 and we'll sing, I think, the song that just about every single person in the Christian world knows, Away in a Manger. I'm not going to force you to sing it without the words, because I wouldn't even want to embarrass myself by getting that wrong. But what a sing, Away in a Manger. How bad can it get? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Just after, if you open your Bible at the middle and start moving to your right, you will come to Ezekiel. Good to be able to be in the house of the Lord. No matter how you feel, you should always remember that there are people that can't be there. And even if you don't feel like being there, you should we should all honour God to the best of our ability and obeying His statutes and His commandments. Not always easy. If it was easy, everyone would be doing it. But it is the right thing to be doing. Ezekiel chapter 14. This is the word of God. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart, and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore speak unto them, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols. That I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him, and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. And they shall bear their punishment of their iniquity. The punishment of the prophet shall be even as the punishment of him that seeketh unto him. That the house of Israel may go no more astray from me, neither be polluted any more with all their transgressions, but that they may be my people, and I may be their God, saith the Lord God. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out mine hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith the Lord God. And if I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it, so that it may be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beasts, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate. Or if I bring a sword upon the land, and say, Sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land, and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord God, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness. For thus saith the Lord God, how much more when I send my four sore judgments upon Jerusalem, the sword, the famine, the noisome beast, and the pestilence, to cut off from it man and beast, yet behold, therein shall be a remnant that shall be brought forth, both sons and daughters. Behold, they shall come forth unto you, and ye shall see their way and their doings, and ye shall be comforted concerning the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem, even concerning all I have brought upon it. And they shall comfort you, and ye see their ways and their doings, and ye shall know that I have not done without cause all that I have done in it, saith the Lord God. Amen. How bad can it get? Ezekiel chapter 14. Let's close our eyes and let's pray a moment, and then we'll continue. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day, and for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for the thaw and for getting rid of that ice. Thank you, Lord, for the many helps and blessings, for a reminder of the many things that you have for us this morning. Please bless this time in your presence. And Lord, wherever in the world that people are getting ready to praise you and to worship you, and people are standing up to preach from your word, I pray you, Lord, that you would open their mouths, their hearts and their minds, that you would supply them every word, and include myself in that number to you. Bless this time, I pray you. Please, Father, around your presence. Please look into our hearts and minds ahead for a cleansing and refreshing and re-energizing and the healing. I pray you too, especially at this time, for Steve Plant, Lord, and the whole Plant family. You know, Lord, what it is that they need, and I pray you, Father, that Pat or Steve or some other Christian would go across their path and point them to the foot of the cross. We pray that for all the folks that have received a leaflet or a word in their ears. Even in this time when people are running around with mad things, I pray, O Lord, that you would speak to them about their soul. Please be our friend and our guide now, Lord, as we take this time and work. We pray all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. This is, I don't know how many messages we have taken from Ezekiel. We're in chapter 14. There's usually at least one from each chapter that we read. So on our ongoing Bible study through Ezekiel 14, it doesn't sound so much like a book that was written 2,500, 3,000 years ago. Actually sounds more like the newspaper that was printed this morning. And God has come to the point where through Ezekiel, he is explaining the way things are going to go. The bits that I'm interested in, and they're mentioned twice and referred to, I think, four or five times in all, is just how bad things have gotten for Israel at this particular time. If you think back to, does anyone recall to mind the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Abraham and Lot went out into the world with God's blessing, and because God blessed them so much, they parted company because their shepherds and their herdsmen were fighting over resources. And Lot looked down towards Sodom and Gomorrah and saw the richness of the land and said, I'll go down that way. Abraham, he headed in the other direction. And to cut a long story short, Lot maybe started outside of Sodom and Gomorrah and eventually moved in and found himself a house in Sodom and Gomorrah. And one day, God came down to Abraham and said, Abraham, I'm going to Sodom and Gomorrah because the cries of the little ones have come up before my ears. Or words to that effect. And Abraham said, or God said, Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be judged. Going to be destroyed. And Abraham realized, you know, Lot and his family's there. And between all of them, there's 10 righteous people, or at least they should be. Lot and his wife and 4 children and their spouses, at least. Maybe 5 children, and 2 of them weren't married. But God started about to go, and Abraham said, but Lord, would you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if there were, what was it, 100 righteous people? Abraham must have been the first cattle trader. Not 100 pounds, not 90 pounds, not 80 or 70 or even 60, not 50, 40 or 30, not even 20. But for 10 righteous people, Lord, would you destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? And the Lord said, for 10 righteous people. And I know the Lord knew what Abraham was doing. He was trying to spare Lot and his family, and through them, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But you know what, friends? There are some things in this world certainly that can't be forgiven, but there is certainly a judgment for it. The Lord sends the 2 angels because he knows full well that there is not 10 righteous people. There are not, sorry, pardon my English, there are not 10 righteous people. And we know the story that even as judgment was about to fall, the angels had to drag Lot and his wife and their 2 daughters out of the city, and fire rained down and blew up, and the place was completely and utterly destroyed. Such was the sin that's involved, and of course we know it today as homosexuality, sodomy. It comes from the sodomites, the behaviours of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. If God was to come down today, how many cities, I wonder, in this world would survive if they were held to the same standards? But anyway, judgment was coming. They were warned. They were prayed for. They were begged for. They were bargained for. But judgment still fell. Lot and his family, they were removed. Lot lost children and grandkids. He lost in-laws. He lost all his belongings. Eventually he lost his standards. And he created, having a relationship with his own daughters, 2 of the tribes, the Moabites and the Ammonites, that caused the most bother for the children of Israel until they too were eventually destroyed. There is judgment for bad behavior. And I got to thinking about these 3 men that God mentions. 3 notable men. Everybody knows of Job. And if you say Job, oh, you mean Job's comforters? Yes, everybody knows Job's comforters. The guys that come up and said, you are where you are because of what you've done, but that wasn't the case. We've got Noah, Job, and Daniel. And if we think of Noah, Noah had to build a boat and suffer the humiliation and the mocking of people for decades as he built one of the biggest wooden boats that was ever built. And of course, the Lord brought in two of every type of animal, male and female, probably all quite young and small, and put them in the boat. And Noah lost his land, his home. Noah was able to gather a few bits and pieces into the boat, enough to sustain them whenever the boat landed again. But there was a dreadful cost. But there was also great warnings that were sent out before for many, many years, decades. Noah preached as he built, and the people laughed, thinking, that'll never happen. In fact, I don't know if it was Will or you, Norman, that was reading this morning and made some comment to the effect from the just reading part of the scriptures about how many people think that God is never going to judge. But everything in this world is happening just the way it said it would in the Bible, which was finished 2,000 years ago. And that includes the judgment, which we haven't seen yet, but is going to fall. It is going to come. If we consider Daniel, and many people think, oh, Daniel, wouldn't it be great to be thrown into the den of lions and have them not eat you? Wouldn't it be great to stand up against the king and know that God was on your side? Remember his three brethren, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And I know I have mentioned this before, but Daniel and his three brethren were put in the charge of the keeper of the eunuchs for a reason. Because the king wanted them for their intellect, not for their passion and their drive. They were castrated. They were made eunuchs too. There's no mention of any of them having families. And kings did this to remove the drive and the ambition from their servants so that they would serve and not try to take the kingdom. Suddenly, being Daniel doesn't seem so great. But Daniel was spared. And even with that happened to him, he still served the Lord, even as Israel was judged for their constant rebellion against God, for their constant rejecting of his commandments, for their constant abandoning of the Sabbath day, of the day that was set aside to worship God and to receive direction from God. We all know Job's story. Job did everything right. Just because you do everything right doesn't mean that difficult times are not going to come your way. We know it was the devil said, Job's only doing everything right because you protect him and you bless him and you keep him. And God said, have at it. And the devil took his riches, took his belongings, took his children, took his herds, even took his health. And every time the Lord, or Job said, well, basically, naked I come into this world, and naked I will go out, bless the Lord, and thank him for everything. Even when his wife, he literally lost his wife as well. She said, curse God and die. Let this be over and done. These were good men. Men kept their eyes on God when they were surrounded by people that didn't. And still this judgment that touched them on the way to, well, the people that judgment was due for. They were good men. I don't know if you could pick out three other men in the Old Testament that you would say were bywords for righteousness, and I am not making a big fuss about people's individual righteousness, but these men loved God. And if there was ever a man that could, there's only one other man that I know of, that's Moses, that contended so many times with God for his people. The Lord said, I'll destroy them and I'll make of you a great nation, and he could have done it. Remember, Moses said, but Lord, if you do that, everyone's going to say that you just brought the children of Israel into the desert to kill them. And he interceded for them. And things have gotten this bad. in the book of Ezekiel that the Lord is saying, no amount of intercession is going to stop judgment falling. No amount from any man. In fact, it makes a point of saying, I think it's 4 or 5 times, even if these 3 men were in the land, great men, wise men, blessed men, steadfast men, they would only be able to save themselves. Not their sons, not their daughters, not their friends. Things had gotten that bad that even the people closest to them had abandoned God. And God said, it's awful. That is literally how bad it's going to get. I don't know, I won't pretend to make a list of all the things that they got up to, but I'm sure there was, we read a bit about the rampant idolatry, fornication and adultery that was going on in the land, and the killing of their little children. Goodness, it sounds like today, doesn't it? It is today. And people, if people had any sense about them, they've got all this time, all these time and labour-saving devices, they should actually take time to read the greatest piece of human literature that was ever graced the face of the earth. But oh no, TikTok, 10-second video clips on TikTok are more interesting. Or 15-minute clips on YouTube, far more interesting. The lies, the thefts, the murders, the abuse, the violence, the neglect, the paganism, the blasphemy. A lot of people think, just because God is long-suffering, that God is blessing. And that's not the case. God is patient and loving and kind, and even those that we term as the worst of the worst, God extends an olive branch to them almost daily. Every day they wake up is another day, another opportunity to accept that olive branch and get saved. But that's just not the way it is. Wouldn't sadly have to go very far to make a comparison with how things are going in this present day. You need to know that back in the days of yore, the standards of the country were driven by the standards of its rulers. Whatever the king said became law. If you didn't agree with it, you lost your life or you were exiled. Your family could have been taken as slaves and sold, just on a whim. So from the very top to the very bottom, just like water, it filtered down and it touched every part of society. It touched the king's house, it touched the prince's houses, it touched the ruler's houses. It touched the priests' houses. It touched Joe Public's houses. And without someone standing up and saying, hold on a wee second, God's word says something different to the way that you're going. Without the priests to stand and proclaim that, because not everybody had a copy of the printed word. And it only takes one generation of delinquent adults and preachers for the word of God to be forgotten back in the day. We can pick up a book and read it for ourselves, but they couldn't. So God said, judgment's coming. These are the things that he said were going to happen. In verse number 12, he said he would break the staff of bread. In other words, because they refused the bread of life, if you want to put it like that, God was going to take away the quite literal bread out of their mouths, and people were going to die. They were already dead spiritually. Judgment was coming for them. They were going to feel a wee touch of that physical loss as well. In verse number 15, God said, I'm going to send wild beasts. Now, we're quite fortunate in Northern Ireland. I can't even think. The worst wild beast you'd ever come across might be a ferret. And they're wee devils, let me tell you. If they take umbrage at you, those wee things will get you, and they'll bite you, and they'll bleed you. They have no problems taking a cat or a dog. But that's the worst. And a good solid kick would probably send them flying to Kilmore. So we're quite fortunate here. But there's some head the balls with lions and tigers and stuff sat in the zoo, you know, or for is the safari park still running out cold rain directions? Those animals had to go somewhere. But anyway, you think of the dogs that there are about. Now, different part of the world, but God said he was going to send fearsome and noisome beasts through the country. So many of them that other people wouldn't pass through the country. That's what God was going to do. He was going to teach them a lesson. And it's an interesting thing, but that's also one of the plagues, that's one of the judgments that's promised in the book of Revelation. And I believe all the time when God judges a nation or a country or a world or even a person, he judges them and defeats them with their own gods. And if it's anything like today, there are so many people that love their pets more than they love people. They would quite literally, I've come across people, if you're not a dog lover, we don't love you. We're not interested in you. Now, I don't mind animals. Monica is not a dog lover because she's allergic. She would love the animals. And I know Wee Samuel, he's allergic to anything with hair or fur, except his daddy. He's got hair, he's got fur. He would love to be petting on. But there are people that love animals more than their own children and will take better care of them. They have what's called an inordinate affection. And I believe in the book of Revelation that is one of the plagues. Those animals will turn against their owners. We have fearsome and noisome beasts. The next one is in verse number 17. It says, Israel's enemies are going to come at them. And goodness, does that not sound like today? When the enemies of democracy, so-called socialism and communism, are coming after us. We've been losing the war for about 60 years and we haven't even realized. God said, I'm going to send war. I am going to speak to the sword and tell it to go through the land. And that sounds exactly, I'm reminded even again of the time that Moses was up getting the Ten Commandments. And God said, you better get down to the camp, the people are polluting themselves. And he came down and Moses said, is that the sound of war? And I think, was it Joshua or one of his aides said, nope, that's the people partying. The end of it all was that Moses called a bunch of men with their slaughter weapons in their hand. You can look out slaughter weapons and it'll take you to the right place. And they went through and killed everyone that was running around half naked and on drugs and doing whatever else it was they were doing. I think there were thousands of people lost their lives. Enemies are going to come in. War is going to come in. And it will touch everybody. And lastly, in verse 19, God said he would send disease. And I want for you to understand something. Disease always follows people engaged in sin. It always follows them, whether it's mental illness, whether it's physical illness, a sclerosed liver, or a rotted away stomach or throat from alcohol. They used to talk about LSD, used to be one of the deadliest drugs ever, because it would actually fry your nervous system if you got too much of it. You've got all sorts of drugs that people take now that will literally eat away at your liver, your kidneys, your heart, all of that. We are literally living this, and we think this is great. That God is wonderful, and because I can sit in my centrally heated house and eat my food, that everything's hunky-dory with the world. I pray that it is good with your world, but the world around you is going to hell. God said, I'll send disease. And there's nothing going to stop it. Not the best of people in this world is going to stop it. Just like it says about salvation, the only person that you can save is yourself. Now, I think it says in Philippians that we should make sure of our own salvation. In other words, it's up to each one of us to make our decision for God. Will I accept Christ as my Savior, or will I reject Christ? Christ as my Saviour. It's up to each one of us. We look at this, we also see in the last couple of verses that there's always a remnant. Just like the few that are on the straight and the narrow road, the few that are on the road to life, the few that find it, there is a remnant. And the Bible talks about this remnant being a comfort to those that have been trusting in God. And in all honesty, it's a very sometimes it can be a difficult concept to wrap your head around. Because every person that you have ever spoken to about Christ, and every single one of those souls that has rejected either you or somebody else, in fact, even the Word of God, that has rejected all of the gospel tracts, all of the times that they've heard the Word of God, every single hymn that they've ever sung, and every Bible lesson that they've ever heard, every single one of them will be gone. No matter how loved they are by you, they'll be gone. And someday, when the old sin nature's gone, we will understand that was their own stupid fault. But they loved sin more than they loved God, and they paid the price. And we need to remember that. We're not going to spend the endless ages of eternity weeping over those that rejected Christ, our friends and our neighbours, our old school buddies, our childhood friends, our relations that rejected them. That was their own fault. And they will pay the price. But for those that listen to you, every time they see you on those streets of gold, they'll be slapping you in the back and saying, "Thank you very much. If and when I see Jeannie Hopper in heaven, I am going to shake her hand and give her a hug and thank her very much and the Lord for double booking the sleeve donored and her ending up in the hotel that pointed me to the foot of the cross. Go and thank her for that." But these are the days that we live in. The reason Ezekiel was writing these things down, A, because God told him, and B, because he was faithful and sure and he loved his people, loved his country, and he wanted them to know and to understand why it was coming. We're in exactly the same boat. All of the things that the children of Israel were scourged for many times in the Old Testament, we're doing right now. We claim to be a Christian country. I know a few people have said we're a post-Christian country. And if we have any more religions come in, well, I think we're probably in the minority already. But we claim to be a Christian country, and yet we have all of our tradesmen and merchants opening up on a Sunday. Remember what Nehemiah said over the gates of the city? I said, "If I see you coming here again on the Sabbath day, I'm going to kill every last one of you." The reason we're having to rebuild the walls is because guys like you didn't respect the God's day. We don't. This is one of the busiest shopping days in the week. Sunday. The reason that God came was because there was no respect for God's word. Because, quite honestly, there is gravitas, there is authority, and there is power in God's word. And if you want to live without that, that's on you. But if you do, you're going a different way to the way God's going. And you're going to run into him head on, and I'm going to guarantee you, you will make as much impact on God as a blue bottle does on your windscreen when you're doing 70 or 80 up the motorway. You don't feel the car start to shake and wobble when a fly flies into the windscreen. God is not going to miss a step whenever you meet him in judgment day. His love, his salvation, his comforts and strengths are extended to everybody in this world. And there's a party in heaven when somebody says, "Do you know what, God? I've been doing it wrong. Would you please save me? Would you please take me to heaven whenever my life's over?" There's a party in heaven when that happens. But if a person steps off into eternity without Christ as their Savior, the wrath of God mentioned at the end of John chapter 3 that abided with them throughout their whole life will fall upon them in that moment. God doesn't want that for anybody. But God gives us a choice to make. The reason Sodom and Gomorrah went up in flames was because of the filthy physical practices that they got up to, how detrimental they are, and the disease and one thing and another. And we embrace that today. There are churches, Monica's cousin's church, they had to find a safe space to sit for a week because Roe v. Wade was overturned. And the organization of abortion laws was left to a state level instead of a country level. And they thought this was awful, and they were going to have to find a quiet place and sit down with lots of soft cushions and no sharp edges. I kid you not. And that's in a so-called Baptist church, a community church, community evangelical, Pentecostal, huggy-feely, fag church. Excuse me for being annoyed with them, but that's exactly what they are. God said that is the rejection of his first commandment, is homosexuality and lesbianism. His first commandment to Adam and Eve was go into the world and multiply and replenish the earth and fill it. That was the first command. The second one was, don't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And we've broken them both. Friends, we are right where Ezekiel said the children of Israel were. 26 or 27, maybe 3,000 years ago. And every single time judgment has come along just like God said it would. And God has even detailed what the times will be like and the judgments that will fall. God has detailed them for us in the book of Revelation. And he has alluded to them the whole way through the Old and the New Testament. And the book of Revelation reaches back and stands upon the old judgments. And they're coming. How bad does it have to be before it does? I think we're there. I like Northern Ireland. It's like it used to be a little bastion of conservatism. The devil's been whittling away at that for years, and he's poisoned it, and he's filthied it, and he's brought the legalized murder of unborn and even just born children right to our doorstep. They are now trying to normalize paedophilia. They're calling it, instead of paedophiles, which has an awful stigma about it, and rightly so, they're now being called minor attracted persons. And this is going to creep in to the social norm, just like homosexuality did. It will soon be removed from the APA, the American Psychiatric Association, list of mental illnesses. And then it will be normal, and then it will be protected. And if your child gets picked up by one of these people and you say or do anything, it'll be you that goes to jail, not them. That's the way things are going. That's the way it was in Sodom and Gomorrah's day. That's the way it was in Noah's day, both of which happened all before judgment fell. We live in the days when, we've already mentioned, church has been abandoned. We live in the days when the Word of God has been abandoned. There's no power for any Christian. They just say, oh yeah, we'll go along with that. We want to be popular. We want to just sit here and get a pat on the back. These are the days. This is how bad it can get. And worse. Government is evil. So many of the men that stand behind the pulpits are literally traitors. There is no call to Christian living. There is no example of Christian standards. What are we supposed to do? I'll tell you what I'm doing. For the time being, I'm making sure I have food to eat, clothes on my back. The Lord said, be content with that. I'm also making sure that I have enough wood to burn so I can stay warm in these cold days. And I'm making sure that I stay right with God and tell as many people as possible. Because when the day comes, when the trump sounds, in the twinkling of an eye, it says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15, the Lord will come back in the clouds and receive us up into the air. then those judgments are going to fall. That will be the only remnant that is saved. Yep, there'll be a few that make it through the 7 years of tribulation, great tribulation. I think it's bad now. You wait till the government's literally leaning over your shoulder, checking into your smartphone where people pour out all of their deepest, darkest, and most precious desires and thoughts. They're reading everything, and there's a little program that is just making a profile of you that knows exactly where you will hop whenever you're prodded. And they'll have all your money. You will own nothing. And you will be happy. Does that sound familiar? Every single person in a position of power and authority. And none of them will be pushing people towards Christ. And none of them will be preaching the gospel. Because they don't believe that the power and the glory belongs to God or to them. We live in these days. There's quite literally nothing that stands between us and Jesus coming back in the air for us. There's no other world event. All of the things that God said would happen before the rapture, to the best of my knowledge, have happened. We're just waiting for the last soul to ask God to save them before he says it. I think that's everybody. You have to bring them all home. So friends, make sure that you stay right with God. Make sure that you read this Bible. And as you come across cool verses in your Bible, read them about 10 times. And they'll find a wee place in your head, in your heart. Talk to God often. I don't know about you, but there's precious little sense coming out of anybody else that's not a Christian. Talk to God often. Read his word as much as you can. Make sure that you stand for something. For God, make sure that you stand for him in the saving of souls. Show people that even in the worst of dark days, that even a little light can still help you see where you're going. And remember that God will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never leave you high and dry. He will supply you, provision you, bless you, and attend to you, no matter where you are, no matter what's happening to you. He loves you the bits, and he wants the very best for you, and he wants everybody saved, but he also loves us enough that he says, I will respect your decision. That's what I call a loving God. Amen. I'm going to stop there. I could go on for a little bit, but amen, we're stopping there. How bad can it get? Read the papers. That's how bad it can get. God bless you. Has anybody picked a song that we didn't sing? Did we sing all our picks? We did. In that case, number 355. 355, what a friend we have in Jesus. Let's stand as we sing.
What a privilege.
travels home. Look forward to the next time, Wednesday evening, on the Lord willing. Well, would you dismiss us with a wee word of prayer, please, brother?
Heavenly Father, thank you for the service, Lord, and thank you for your Spirit, Lord. Residing in us, Lord, in the Holy Spirit among us, Lord. May we learn more about thy will, more about the kingdom on earth, Lord. Pray for you, praise thy great and holy name, Lord. And Lord, lay up the words concerning us today, both from the morning and evening, into our hearts and minds, Lord. Draw us closer to thee, and may we be more sure of thee. We thank you for your Son's sacrifice on the cross, and especially this time, whenever Christ entered into the world as a babe, Lord, that you ushered in your aim to save souls, Lord, and save mighty and powerfully sinful souls like us, Lord. Save souls mighty and powerfully, especially in the churches, and especially for this man in this world, Lord, in church services and among missionaries, Lord, your foreign lands, and also in Ireland as well, Lord. And save souls mighty and powerfully, Lord, that they may see that but thou art good tonight, thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ, is good indeed, and able to save those that call upon his name with a contrite heart and a truthful heart for crying for sins, Lord. See, be fast and brown, Lord, be off and keep safe as well, Lord. And draw and push our walk for thee, and be off us as we go through this cold period of time, and both in the world, Lord, and also in the temperature outside, Lord, as well, Lord. See us, mightily bring back the backslid, Lord, and make them endure in us. We give more grace, Lord, and we thank you for you giving us, Lord. Give the listeners of the service as well, Lord. Give them a blessing as well, Lord. Give us some prayer, Lord. Bring them back to church as well, Lord. Give us as we start a new week, Lord. May we be a forefront in our minds and our hearts and souls, Lord. And give us and keep us, and we may bless you, great and holy name, for thy honor, for thy glory, for this present day. Amen.